Kind of tough one to follow, huh?
The whole morning's been great, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm.
So I think everybody knows who I am, and I hope everybody knows who our program director of all Mount Hermon programs and marketing is, Lisa Olson. You know, break time, I was walking around and talking to a few folks, and my little phrase that was in my brain was this: I hope you're encouraged, because I knew all the stuff that was coming, and I'm incredibly encouraged. It is just incredible when you look at all the ways that God's at work here, and I know in many cases, you have learned about things that you maybe didn't even know God was doing through Mount Hermon in places and what have you, in the different generations, etc. So, Lisa and I, where's that clock? Oh, there it is. Okay.
Between your
legs. Lisa and I are going to talk a little bit about a pretty exciting venue that has, it's really the birthplace of Mount Hermon geographically, and we believe it is one of the main corridors for the direction that God is taking the impact for the future. Real quick history lesson when it comes to camp and to also Mount Hermon in general. You know, Mike last night was talking about the fact that as a pastor, he has seen and experienced how God does amazing things in a setting in a week that oftentimes can take much, much longer in the regular routine of the church life that we have throughout the course of a year or more. Well, that's played out across the country and has been shown statistically through studies in amazing ways. There are over 8,000 camps that exist in the United States today. Unfortunately, that number is declining. It's a different model, a financial metric, if you will, to run a camp today. It always has been. There's over 8,000. Of that, about half of those camps are nonprofits. And of that, about 800 are faith-based Christian evangelical camps, such as Mount Hermon. So that's a pretty small little across the globe and across the United States. But here's what's interesting about that. The numbers show that on a given year, almost 250,000 people make a decision year in and year out at that little puddle called Christian camping in the big scheme of the evangelical world. About 250,000 people a year make a first-time decision for Jesus Christ year in and year out. In addition to that, there are around 500,000 leaders throughout the Christian community and movement across the globe that, when interviewed, traced their decision process of the Lord leading them into full-time Christian ministry through an experience like you've heard about here. Ben's an example of that. Camping. It's amazing. And I think that's one of the reasons why camping is under fire and under so much pressure. Quite frankly, we're in a war too. And there's a significant force that is going to lose, but doesn't want camping to continue to be successful, which is one of the reasons we're so grateful that the Lord's brought our new leader to us. So, Mount Hermon was the first Christian camp and conference center started west of the Mississippi. As many of you know, it was started in 1905. First conference was held in 1906. And as they searched over a period of years for where the camp should be located and knew that God was calling for such a facility to be created, they looked up and down the coast of California, 200 miles as far inland as Yosemite. There was land available in Yosemite at the time. Probably just as well they didn't pick that, because it would have been eminent domain taken away from us. But they also came down and they were looking at some sites. You know Point Lobos just south of here? That was like on the very short list of places they were going to acquire. The only reason we didn't end up at Point Lobos, I'm told, is because there's a water issue. And isn't it interesting that our forefathers, 100 plus years ago, thought that the two most important things for the location of this facility was water. Interesting today, huh? A good, consistent access to water, which we have. And also the ability to get here. See, back in those days, the main form of transportation was a train. And the train would stop down at the place that we now know as Redwood Camp. And that's what we're going to talk about with you today. Redwood Camp is where it all started. There were two parcels of land, 200 acres each. This is part of the top parcel. This was basically all undeveloped. And there was a hotel with some cabins and a bowling alley and a variety of other things down below at Redwood Camp as they started in 1906. It was in the 1940s when Redwood Camp began to transform itself into what we know today, which is primarily a youth facility. And the facilities that they had down there were tent cabins, and you can see some of the pictures here. In fact, we looked through here, and earlier this week, we thought we saw Dave Talbot in one of these pictures. But we weren't sure. Okay. Where is Dave? My man, there he is. And it was in the 1940s it became a youth facility. In the 1950s, the cabins that we still use today were built. And they were quite innovative at the time because they
this
had electricity.
This is a picture of the... These cabins were called tent structures, and they're on foundations, but then they have just canvas walls, you see. And these were built in 1921, almost 100 years ago. And then in 1953... the canvas sides were replaced with wood to make them cabins, and that's the structures that continue to be used today.
We call it classic camp. You know, and that only gets you so far, folks, quite frankly, today. But you do try to make the best of it. And God makes the best of it in amazing ways. Our camps at Redwood Camp right now are oversubscribed for the summer. God just continues to fill those beds. Same thing going on up at Ponderosa. And you know, for the little tykes, the 4 to 10 to 12 or whatever, it's okay. It's okay, isn't it?
Their mothers are more upset about it than they are, and they're the ones who write the checks.
Yeah. So then the bathrooms that we have down there were built also around 55. I think the women's bathroom was built first, and then about 10 years later, for whatever reason, the guys... Seriously. I don't know the story behind that, but anyway, the guy's bathroom got built.
There's a creek down there, you know.
Okay, I think I'm a little off my notes here. Let me get back down here. So
the point is that facility has served us so well, has it not? God has used this amazing facility for generations. Some very distinguished people like Don Brosamley accepted Jesus at Redwood Camp when he was in knickers. And I met some people yesterday. I had the privilege to lead the children's ministry group in the prayer time. I met some of you who accepted Jesus at Redwood Camp. I would like to know, a show of hands, of people who either accepted Christ there, went there as a child, or worked there on summer staff. How many of you? Oh my gosh, look, JR. And so I love this theme that's been coming up of how God leverages even a week or a summer in the life of a person as he encounters them at Mount Hermon. He uses Mount Hermon, but what is the transformational thing is how they encounter God at Mount Hermon. We all know that. Sometimes we don't add those words. But how you have encountered God at Redwood Camp has been leveraged and multiplied throughout your life in so many ways. And it's just really... amazing to think. Another name, not quite as distinguished as Don, but Cliff Barrows, who was part of the, Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, accepted Christ at Redwood Camp. And if I had had time to do more research, I'd like to give you a list of those. But I hesitated to do it because I know that every child who's accepted Christ at Redwood Camp has gone on to be used by God. And this window of time, JR was referring to the 4:14 window, it's called in children's evangelism, is the most critical age bracket of time to reach a child's heart, to soften that child's heart toward the things of God, and to establish the seeds of faith. And you know, through our team building, through our youth programs, through our adult ministry, if you've heard me talk about what we want to do with boomers and beyond, we're developing evangelistic programs for every age group. We don't assume people who are 60 and have been in church a long time know Jesus. A lot of them don't, frankly. And so we always assume with every guest who comes here that They may not even know that they're lost, but we assume every guest is lost. We're always trying to bring people into a relationship with Jesus. But this 4:14 window is the critical time where 80% of people make decisions for Christ that last. And so we are very intentional about what we do in these programs. And I know last year we spent the whole weekend talking about kind of our evangelistic offensive fronts and how we're reaching lost people, people who are unsaved and who are unfamiliar with anything religious or spiritual or Christian, sometimes neutral, sometimes hostile even toward their parody impressions of what Christians are and what a Christian community looks like. And so we talked a lot about that, but today we just wanted to reassure you that our attention, we have staff who are dedicated to getting up in the morning thinking about how do we reach those lost people who don't even know what they don't know about God by getting them out into the creation and beginning to just let them see something different in the people who serve them there. But we also have other people who wake up in the morning thinking about how do I take this group of church kids who are coming in who think they know all about God and who think they are close to Jesus because they can recite the gospel and answer Jesus to every question? How do I reach that kid and help them recognize that they have a void and they have a need and that a relationship with Jesus is about more than just being able to repeat back the gospel or to say a sinner's prayer? And moving each of those children one step closer as they're here with us in their week at camp. We don't treat elementary school as, oh, well, let's just have a good time until they get to junior high when they can really talk about spiritual things. That is not our approach. We know and believe that in these early grades, we can cement this tender relationship with Jesus that's not based on a cerebral apologetic, but that's based on his spirit quickening in their heart and reassuring them of his love. And that then will provide the foundation for what comes later as we're able to talk about more abstract things and truth and relativism and, you know, all the questions that they have later. But we really want that foundation of just the love of Christ to be embedded in their heart. And that's why in the elementary school ages in our programs at Redwood Camp, we are in the Gospels every summer. At Ponderosa, we go into the epistles. We'll use other parts of Scripture because in junior high and high school, we want them to become more adept with Scripture and more familiar with their Bible and recognize the narrative and arc of all of the biblical story. But at Redwood Camp, every summer is about one thing, Jesus. And the theme changes each year. Jesus loves you. Jesus is Lord. What does that mean? This year, the theme is Jesus is God. What does that mean? And how can we translate that down to a child? But it's always about Jesus at Redwood Camp so that they can go home closer to him than they came when they came in.
Absolutely. And you know, the numbers show that, in fact, in this room, be interesting, 80% of people that make a decision to follow Jesus in this country do so between the ages of 4 and 14. That's important. that's the window. That's not only the doorway to salvation. For Mount Hermon, Redwood Camp is the doorway to that journey and that experience. And then each way along that path, getting one step closer to Jesus, Ponderosa, and these intensives, etc. So it all fits together, and God continues to bless it through your amazing team. Let's talk about, I'm looking at the clock down there, Lisa. We want to have a little time for Q&A. So let's fast forward, talk about what's next for Redwood Camp.
Some exciting stuff is going to happen. We're going to turn dirt, hopefully, in the fall at Redwood Camp.
Absolutely. Last December, received a phone call from a gentleman many of you know, used to serve on our board, named Jack Samuelson. And Jack and Sally love this place, and Jack turned, he's almost the same age as my dad. He turned 91 this year. And I'd been talking to Jack a little bit about Redwood Camp and opportunity down there and was talking to him specifically about cabins, and he called me up, which I was a little surprised by, and he said, hey, we've decided what we want to do. Great. And he said, that recreation pavilion that you showed me quite a while ago, we would like to make a gift of $750,000 to make that pavilion go. And I can share this with you publicly because it is not a secret gift. And quite frankly, Jack and Sally had a desire and they made a request. They asked if the board would consider naming the recreation pavilion in their family's name. And I got a quote from Jack and Sally regarding that and why that was important. And here's what he shared with me. He says, "We want our grandchildren and all young people to understand that living is about giving, not getting. It's about concern for others and living in the warm glow of God's eternal loving care." Now, Mount Hermon has a policy. We don't name buildings after people that are still alive. There's a couple other criteria too. But that was the one that Jack didn't qualify for. Jack was on our board. He knew that. And so when he asked me this, I said, well, I'm happy to take this to Alden and submit it onto the board. But Jack, you know this is the issue. He said, no, I know. I understand that. So we submitted it to the board, and the board spent some time praying and processing over that. And they decided to make an exception to our policy, and that's exactly what it is. And it will be named the Samuelson Recreational Pavilion. And here's a picture of it right here. And they did that for a couple of reasons, which I can unpack with you later, but I don't think it's probably hard for you all to understand. This pavilion is a game changer. It's a game changer for a number of reasons at Redwood Camp. First of all, Redwood Camp, as most of you know, some of you may not know, is down the hill from here. Ponderosa Lodge is up the hill. Ponderosa Lodge is much warmer and sunnier. Redwood Camp, quite frankly, is cooler and more shady. Now, in the summertime, it's fine, but in the wintertime, that kind of a situation is challenging for recreation. And outdoor recreation is almost non-existent. It's on a very small footprint of about 12 acres. And it can't grow any bigger than that because it's surrounded by water and roads. So we have to maximize what we have. Now, quite frankly, I will tell you this. The Lord's opening new doors in that area with the opportunity that we had to purchase the property across the road, because we are going to build a bridge over Ziani Road, and a whole area of that property will have what I would call first right refusal for the programming needs of Redwood Camp. And so as compact as Redwood Camp is, and as amazing as God has used that 12 acres, I believe in just a few years from now, Redwood Camp will go from being classic to cutting edge. It will transform youth ministry in the Bay Area in terms of camping. There will be nothing like it probably in the state of California or beyond in terms of the ministry arenas where we can plug people in, not just young people, but people of all ages, which is one of the reasons why we're building this. And we, you can be praying about this, but we're optimistic that we will receive the green light from all of the proper authorities that we submit to, governmental authorities, to start turning the dirt on this property after summer camp and have it in place next summer. Lisa, take over.
There's one more shot here that shows an overview of the pavilion. I was telling my prayer groups yesterday, at Redwood Camp, if you're under a roof, you're either in your cabin or you're in the dining room. So during the rainy season, when we're not in a drought, it might rain every day down there in the winter season. And so this is going to give us an amazing opportunity to gather as a large group community and to have recreation. And it's a multi-purpose building, game room area, and court. And it does not have any bathrooms. It's close to other facilities that do. It does not have any offices. It's a very just minimal, and it's all open, so it won't look like a big building down there. You'll be able to look through it, completely through it. So you saw where it was placed on the meadow. It's kind of tucked in the corner of the meadow back toward the suspension bridge. But when you come onto the meadow, you'll still be able to see through the building, so it won't feel like we're putting a big field house type thing right in the middle of Redwood Camp. It's going to be very open. JR neglected to mention, which stuns me, that the generous gift from the Samuelsons does not cover the entire cost of the pavilion. So we are praying for about another $250,000. The sticker on this building is over $1 million, 1.1. Is that what we're, something like that? It's not my job. That's your job.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Anyway, so please pray for us, both for the permitting, but also for the funding to come through for us to have this building next year.
But in addition to recreation, yes. Even though we enjoy and love the classic cabins, and we're all going to be sad to see those go someday,
yes.
They do need to go.
And we have been working with our design teams on cabins. We're still in the process of floor plans and finishes, so we don't have permit drawings yet, but hopefully next fall we'll be turning ground on cabins. It's a Western Railroad town motif going on that we'll be developing to fit with the railroad track theme that's already there. We're designing one-story and two-story cabins because, as JR said, there's very little property down there, and so we've realized that by doing some two-story cabins, we can open up more green space and more open land down there. This shows a little bit of the Western motif. The previous picture showed as well, all the cabins built in camps since the 80s, or most of them, have gone to a co-cabin model, or two cabins together with two adults in the cabin. So rather than having the structures with seven beds and one counselor, these cabins will have 14 campers and two counselors in each cabin. And that's just with the whole new culture of keeping kids safe, always having kids with more than one adult present. It also has just been great programmatically in camp to have two adults, even if you're not, there's no risk issues or anything like that, but sometimes you have a child who's sick or has behavioral challenges or whatever, and if you're in a cabin by yourself with only seven kids, those are difficult to manage. So the co-counseling model has really improved all kinds of things, even just relatability of kids to a counselor. If they don't perfectly connect with one, they have another counselor there that they can maybe really connect with. So this will be the model we're going to at Redwood Camp, co-counseling model. So these structures will be half as many of them, only 10 or 12, I think, cabins when we're said and done, and they'll each hold 16 people. We'll have slightly more campers than we do there right now at one time at Redwood Camp. Really excited about them, and we're also going to be looking for funding for cabins. That's the next thing. Yeah, that's the two-story version of the cabin. They will have bathrooms in the cabin, still working out how many, toilets, showers, et cetera. Some of the cabins will be accessible so that we can have campers of both genders who are wheelchair users in any given session. So it's going to be exciting. I think it's going to look like a little Western town when it's all said and done. I like the two-story, one-story, the variability. So we're just really excited about them. They're not going to be deluxe or, you know, resort-like in any way. We're going to protect the rustic simplicity of what a children's camp should be. They're not designed that we can turn them over and make them couples units for weekends. We have lots of couples housing here at the conference center, so we're building them specifically to meet the needs of children, and I'm excited about that too.
Absolutely. And some of you, I know, would look at this and go, wow, that looks like a skyscraper. Seriously? You're going to put that down there? Well, the topography down there, believe it or not, is not flat. And so our thought is, again, trying to be maximum effective, efficient, and good stewards, in some of the lower areas, a building such as this can be tucked in and not be so, whoa, and the one-floor cabins can be on those higher elevations, if you will. So there's some thought behind that. It'll probably be a mixture of the two. I just want to, real quick here, I saw a couple that were registered, and I don't know whether they were able to make it or not. Jim and Mary Crawford, you guys make it today? Okay. They didn't make it here. Jim and Mary were registered to come. They weren't able to be here. They were actually the directors for a short period of time at Redwood Camp, and they moved into the director's home that we have down there. They were the first ones after it was built, but they weren't able to be here today.
I think that often I've heard in the last few years, as people have heard about Velocity or heard about the bike park or heard even about Kidder Creek or what we're doing at Whisper Canyon, often people will say, well, what about Redwood Camp? You know, it's just as though because we're advancing on other fronts, there's a sense that perhaps we've forgotten about Redwood Camp or are neglecting it or something. And so I'm really glad to be able to show you these plans and actually begin to see dirt turn down there, so you know that we are as intent, as passionate about, and as focused on the things that have been here for 100 years as we are the new things. We are as
purposeful and mindful of the kids who come with churches as the kids who have never heard of Jesus. And it's a complex thing that we're managing here. There's lots of fronts. But our one purpose is we want to be a place where anybody can come and encounter Jesus in such a way that their life is transformed. And so we're always thinking, who's that other person that we're not reaching and how can we get them? And that's where we're at with Redwood Camp.
You bet. And in addition to the youth ministry that goes on there so intensely in the summertime, a couple of weeks ago, we have various conferences that go in the non-summer months now that we're able to work out. And we have a mother-daughter's conference, which over the last 3 years, that conference has just grown and grown. We turned away 62 people this year that wanted mothers and daughters who wanted to come to that conference. Next year, we're going to add an additional one. Redwood Camp is a setting for this. We can expand above and beyond father, son. There's opportunities for us to expand our outdoor science school program, which we pretty much have maxed out at Ponderosa Lodge. And quite frankly, the schools don't want to go to Redwood Camp because of our classic facilities. And am I right? I'm right.
It's true. Yeah. They don't want the exterior bathrooms. Yeah. It's become a barrier for many parents, but definitely for churches and schools who don't consider it safe to leave a cabin. They don't want to send a camper by themselves to a bathroom, but if the counselor goes with the camper, then they leave the campers by themselves, and that is just not tolerated in our culture.
Well, not only is it not tolerated legally, what do we have to do when we have, in the summertime, a youngster that needs to go to the bathroom?
Yeah, we have to take two people. We have to take two, because you can never have a staff member alone with camper, ever, out of eyeshot and earshot from other people. And so you always have to either wake up another staff member or take another camper. And then if their camper's alone in the cabin, you have to get another staff member. It's just the bathrooms in the cabin. Some people say, oh, do we really need that? And yes, we do. We really need it. It's not like the campground of your youth, but it definitely, I understand all the regulations are for the safety of children, and we're about that, so we want to comply, and the exterior bathrooms are no longer a preference. They really have become essential for just operating.
Absolutely. Now, we're going to wrap this up. We want to have a little time for some Q&A, but I always would want to say to you, so what can you be doing? A couple of things. First of all, and foremost, and always most important, please be praying for this process with Redwood Camp. We really feel certain that this is critical in terms of God's planning for the future of this place, for a lot of the reasons I've already described. Next week, Mike Romberger and a group of us are going to be sitting down and really starting to focus some of the planning and steps forward with this. You could be praying for that. Those cabins that you saw, and you can remember, this is Santa Cruz County and a variety of things. It's about a $3 million price tag to replace those cabins, okay? $3 million, but you think about what a bargain that is. You think about the literally tens of thousands of people that have gone through our classic cabins and multiply that by some additional number of what those new cabins will be. See, if someone really wanted to say, you know, I don't really get really super excited about bricks and mortar, but I'd love to build an effective arena for ministry, I'd love to be part of that. I can't imagine a bigger bang for your buck. That's just me. I'm an advancement guy. But $3 million is a bargain, absolute bargain. You can be praying about that. Pray that the Redwood Camp Pavilion can go forward, and then a commercial as we get ready to set up for our Q&A. John Jenks, who, again, most of you already know, we introduced him last night. John and Ann have deep roots at Redwood Camp, as do their family. And we've asked John to be the point person for a Redwood Camp reunion next summer. And we want this to be epic. Big. We believe we'll have the new pavilion in place, and many of you have Redwood Camp roots, and I want you to feel free to contact John, and they're putting a committee together this summer to help brainstorm this, but it's an opportunity for us to really create some momentum, to create a prayer warrior force, and move this project forward in a significant way. So three things: pray, and contact John. How about that? And if anybody has $3 million that they'd like to talk to me about, I'll be available right afterwards in the back.